provides for a president with a limited term of office, something that had never happened. It also provides the president with the power to appoint his ministers. But it provides that if the ministers fail to deliver, there can be a vote of no confidence in that government. Once there is a vote of no confidence in that government, the president is enjoined to fire all his ministers and appoint a new cabinet. That way, we are able to curb non-performing presidents.
Mr. Chiwasa, your view on this constitution?
Yeah, we think the president's powers in the Copa constitution, which is actually a constitution of three people, it's clear that the powers are more. If you look at the aspect that you can still appoint an unlimited number of ministers, and you're wondering why will it be difficult for anyone just to stipulate to say that the president must appoint, for example, 20 ministers. So this is clear that we end up with the problem that we have now, where a president can end up appointing about 72 people as cabinet ministers and deputy ministers. So this is clearly a clear indication that this president has got a lot of powers. He's also the one who is responsible for supervising people like vice presidents, the ministers, and those deputy ministers. No one else can be able to dismiss these people, the vice presidents and the ministers, except the president himself. When you look at it again, there's no age limit for the president. There's only the lower entry where they're saying it must be 40 years. The president is still also the one who is appointing all crucial appointments, like the independent commissions. If you look at the anti-corruption commission, the electoral commission, the gender commission, the media commission, it's still the president who is doing that. So it's clear that the president has got a lot of power. And also, we are wondering why the president is given immunity to say that he cannot be prosecuted during his tenure of office.
Let me just have Mr. Manzora come in and answer that issue. Is the president untouchable? And does the president have the sole power to make all appointments?
No. That's misreading of the constitution. Actually, the president has immunity only when he is in office. But the same constitution goes on to say, after he leaves office, the president can be tried for the acts that he did while he was still president. Why are we doing that? So that we don't have a president who is always at court and forgetting at the expense of the affairs of the nation. So in this case, this is after 5 years or after 10 years, the president is brought to court. If he murdered somebody, he will be tried for murder. If he stole something, he will be tried for that. So there is no complete immunity. But we are being practical. Now, let me just go to what you said about the president appointing everyone. That's incorrect again. The president appoints independent commissions together with the parliament. So parliament and the president have each a different role to play in the appointment of independent commissions. And that is important. Further, when appointing judges, the previous constitution says that it is the president who just wakes up and picks a judge. Under this constitution, judges apply and they are interviewed.
Mr. Chiwasa, you raised issues of power balance. What do you see of the issues such as the prime minister being taken out and also the issue that two vice presidents will remain for now?
Yeah, we're saying that is clear. I think the Honorable Member of Parliament, if you look at the issue that I was talking about, immunity, he was pretending that there's nothing like that. I did say that the president has got immunity during a term of office. So it's another dimension that is giving that, no, this person can be tried after 10 years. What the person does in office? So this is the reason why we're saying if everyone is not accountable and everyone is subjected to this constraint, there's not any individual, including the president, who should be. Then we're also saying that, look at this, the issue that Honorable Mwanzora is continuously referring to say, no, the president will be doing this with parliament, the president will be doing this with the ministers and deputy ministers. It doesn't make sense when you look at the power of the president that he can dissolve the same parliament, for example. He's the one who appoints the same cabinet ministers, and he's the one who can fire the same cabinet ministers. So it's clear that the kind of arrangement in this constitution is the existing arrangement that we're trying to run away from. The politics of saying that those who will be in power, the one who will be president, is the one who end up doing everything.
Honorable Mwanzora, what is your last word?
The president cannot dissolve parliament except only where parliament applies to be dissolved. so the president can dissolve parliament and also accept where the government is totally dysfunctional. So it is not correct. This is a people's document. We are going to bring the document to the people of Zimbabwe, and the people of Zimbabwe will make their choice.